Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
And just like that.
Just like that. That easily. We're back. It's as though I never thought I'd be forced to do this again.
Did you not think that?
I don't know. I was just sort of stalling.
How were you stalling?
I was just sort of not, I was not saying anything.
You thought I would forget?
Maybe.
You just didn't bring
just
it up?
I thought maybe.
You were like, if we never watch a movie together, then she won't remember that we have a podcast about watching movies.
Look at Richard Dreyfuss. He looks like old Richard Dreyfuss if he stuck
the one
a fake
on the right is
it.
Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This is Richard Dreyfuss at his peak.
He really doesn't look like Richard Dreyfuss at all to me, right? He's the guy from the Beethoven movies. Are you sure?
No, from the Beethoven movies?
Yeah.
Beethoven 1 through 4.
Yeah, with the dog.
No, man, that's not...
Yeah, that's Richard Dreyfuss.
No, it's not. No.
Who's that?
That's...
Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin.
Okay, I don't know why I mixed them up.
God. The Beethoven movies.
Have you seen those
Richard
movies?
Dreyfuss is Beethoven again.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss. I've been confusing him with Charles Grodin this whole time.
Really?
I thought they were the same person.
They're very much not
the same. I just
realized
person. They're two different people.
He was killing the game, and then he just kind of, and he had a few movies, he blew up, and then he just sort of went away. The nail in his coffin was Mr. Holland's...
Opus,
or as I like to think of it, Mr. Holland's Nopus, because it fucking sucked.
Did it? People love
yes,
that movie, I thought.
Yes, of course it sucked. It was ridiculous, especially as a musician. Seeing the end thing where it was like, this is his opus, and it's like every genre of music.
It's actually like a little bit of rap, a little bit of rock. No.
Yeah, like,
Are you serious?
Like, it's unbelievably bad. Yeah. It's
really
bad.
I guess I haven't seen that movie. I thought maybe I had seen that. I thought people loved that movie.
People did, but people are idiots. People love Crash too, but you know.
Wait. I was about to say that because one of the reasons I don't trust my father is because he...
Besides your childhood.
Yeah. Besides the trauma that he inflicted on me with his abuse. I'm just kidding. But he loves the movie Crash, and I just call his judgment into question frequently because I know that about him, because I know that he loved the movie Crash, and I'm like, well...
Tough but fair. I mean, if I weren't married to you, I'd slap him.
Good. So. So do you want to lead the intro?
I am lead. This is how I lead the intro. When I'm running the intro, there's no intro language. You just start riffing, baby. It's jazz.
I can't believe you just said that.
It's just jazz,
stop,
sweetie. Well, I haven't at least smoking my jazz cigarette.
You did just smoke your jazz cigarette.
I feel like I'm in the middle of it. My jazz cigarette pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, fuck your intro. So the Richard Dreyfuss was a huge cokehead, and he was incredibly notoriously high on cocaine
throughout this movie
shoot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Roy Schneider was like, man, see the thing about Roy Schneider, look at him.
Which one is that?
He's the one in the middle, with the stripe on his nose. Roy Schneider was amazing.
Okay.
Back in the day, he was incredible. But he was such an unlikely movie star. Like, he would never happen these days.
He looks like my alcoholic uncle.
Right.
I have an alcoholic uncle in mind that I'm thinking of when
I'm... Great.
And he looks like him.
Well, he looks like America's alcoholic uncle, I think. And he was such a weird leading man. He was sort of ageless and like had this sort of like weird like sex appeal, I guess.
No.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm telling you,
I feel
man,
like
he
Lillian
was like a romantic
thinks
lead.
Thinks that he's sexy.
Yeah, I think that it's like back in the 70s and in the early 80s, sexy didn't have that much to do with what you looked like. It was more about like if you seemed like you just fucked the shit out of someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, based on this one image, he doesn't look that way to me, but I can wait and see.
It's not the sexiest of still from the movie.
No.
It's actually a little strange. It almost looks like they took this picture like, hey, everyone just say hi. Like, it's not a still from a movie.
You don't think it's a still from the movie?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
That much.
I guess so.
This is not my choice, I should say, for the record. It's not that I don't want to watch it. It's just not wasn't my choice. It was Emily's choice.
Yeah.
Even though
it was
she
sort of a choice
it.
That I made for you. I was like, this is a movie I haven't seen. I think it would be good for the
it's
podcast.
It's a choice that you forced on me.
Yeah. Even though I did say in the last episode that you could have two picks in a row.
Choices aren't what they used to be. You know,
that's true. And you should get used to it. Four more years, baby.
Hey. RBG just died. I think I'll... Choices out the window.
Mm.
Officially, that looks like I'm going to have the baby after all.
Well, don't expect me to stick around for that.
No, of course not. It's my burden.
Yeah.
I don't want help.
Good.
I don't want any help.
You can do it on your own. It'll be character building for you.
Yeah, I'll build the baby's character.
Mm-hmm.
Be character building for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess we should just
No, you
watch
have to do
thing.
More intro stuff because we talk about ourselves in the intro.
Man, you know, let's not push it. We're not that interesting.
Maybe that's part of the appeal. Nobody's listening because they're just like, these people know what they're talking about when it comes to movies. They're
sure.
like,
no, they're listening
LP
to
is a
me.
Rapper I like.
Like, LP knows what he's talking about, but they're listening to you like, say she should say something funny because that's her strength here.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't really know about the movies.
Oh, I know about the movies.
You don't know much
I've been
about
in this
the
business
movies.
For a long time.
Some of us are, you know.
Okay, maybe you saw
learned.
Me.
Learned.
Listen, I've been on Netflix twice, and so have you, actually. But one of the things I was in was scripted, and I had one line, so not a big deal. The show was canceled. Had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, we're a two Netflix appearance family.
Two Netflix appearance each. One of them was together.
All right, I think I may have just smoked too much weed.
Oh, no.
Yep.
You're going to fall asleep in the movie like you always
I'm
do.
I'm going to fall asleep if you stop running your blood clot.
If I stop, you're going to fall asleep?
Unless you stop.
Sweetie, why don't you come up with one of those questions about like cutting my fingers off or something?
Man,
the intro needs to be more...
You can't recreate that type of magic just on demand. This is the intro via Jamie Moline, and you can't just...
Well, I'm going to then
bully
just ask
me into
you
doing your type of intro.
How your day was and what
fuck.
You did.
When you're in my intro home, okay, you take your goddamn shoes off.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's a metaphor, okay? And the shoes is that stupid question you've been walking around in. About how my day was. My day was the same as it always is. Part incredibly stressful.
Mm.
Part completely inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, a sliver of inspiration. here and there. Stress.
Yep.
Travel plans. Dog's been cute pretty much all day.
Yeah. That's been pretty consistent.
Since early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the dog really wakes up and it's just like extra sassy. You can tell that the dog's just starting the day extra sassy. She's just going to be incredibly cute and goofy all day long.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's how she is every day.
Yeah, you just haven't seen the darker side.
I haven't.
Underneath that incredibly cute facade.
Yeah. There's a darkness.
There's a darkness rising.
Mm. Tortured soul.
I don't think necessarily tortured, actually. I feel like any trauma that she has, she's just kind of over it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, wait till you get hit with this next trauma I'm about to unleash.
Oh.
All right, so listen, Jaws was a big deal. I'm going to explain it to you. When Jaws came out, I didn't see it in the theater because I was too young. But the commercial came out, and the commercial was enough to basically terrify me for years.
Yeah.
Jaws changed so... I don't think sharks were even that scary before Jaws.
Yeah.
I really think that Jaws probably is responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands of sharks.
Really? You think people started killing sharks en masse because they saw this movie and they were like, fuck no.
Okay, maybe not, but I'll tell you... People started, like, Shark Week wouldn't fucking exist without Jaws.
No,
like,
for sure.
Like, people started, like, the, like, popular
Nobody
culture.
Was interested in what was in the ocean at that
Nobody was like, oh my God, there's a giant fish in the ocean as much as they are now. Like, you know, it definitely started it all. And it terrified people because it's real.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in this movie is real.
Huh. Because this is a documentary, and people were terrified.
It's not a documentary. It's a biography, okay, of three guys, Roy Schneider,
that's not actually
Richard
Dreyfuss, a biography,
and the guy who plays the Irish sea captain.
Campton?
Sea Campton.
What year did this come out?
75, the year I was born.
Oh, that's
right. So I must have not seen the commercial until it was like Jaws 2.
Mm.
I did, however, see Jaws 3D in the theater.
3D?
Yes.
They had a 3D Jaws?
It was called Jaws 3D.
I got it. I heard you say that.
Yeah, that's when it really went downhill. Like, it was already downhill. I don't even know if... I'm not sure that Rob Schneider was in the second one. He might not have been.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. I was trying to say that I wanted to watch this because we were at the beach... And it was relevant to our interests at the beach and our lifestyle.
I think that you're probably glad that you didn't watch this because if I'm not mistaken...
You think I'm actually going to be scared?
There were sharks in the water where we
were. Yeah, I mean, I'm already scared of sharks.
Right, so if you were to watch this and then you were going to go to the beach where the sharks had been seen, you would be very freaked out.
Really? Because I thought this was pretty campy, but I guess I'll find out.
It was like the biggest movie in the world.
No, I understand, but don't you think that right now when we watch it, it's like kind of, in 2020, don't you think it's kind of campy?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a thriller. I think that we're used to the imagery, but at the time it was revolutionary. And
for sure.
So I think that it probably still retains some qualities of it because it's well made.
Okay.
It's Steven Spielberg. It was kind of him at like his peak. I mean, unless you want to say E.T. or some shit, but...
Which I also haven't seen.
What? What the fuck?
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen E.T.?
No, I've seen like little bits and pieces of it.
Jesus Christ, what's happening? What's happening to our marriage? Every time I think I'm getting somewhere with you, take two steps back. All right.
I do still think I get the next pick. Because this
what
is...
What the fuck? Yo, you hijacked my pick, and now you think you get the next pick? You're out of your mind.
All right.
There's no fucking way.
Fine.
But all right, let's just begin.
You didn't even ask me about my day. I tried to rescue a bird that flew into the window.
All right, do you want to tell me the story about the bird that flew into the window?
I was standing there, just minding my own business, taking a selfie in the mirror.
All right.
And I saw the bird fly really fast into the window. It was very loud. It was like the birds. And it's happened before that I've been here and a bird has flown into the window. And last time I was able to save the bird because it was just kind of stunned. And I put it in a box and I brought the box inside. And then eventually the bird kind of like came to and was fine and flew away when I let it out of the box. And this time I nudged this bird into the box and it did clearly seem dead to me and it was bleeding. But
you thought maybe the box was magic.
I thought
because
maybe
of what it did last time to the bird.
Exactly. It was the same exact box. I thought, what's the constant in both of these situations? Mm-hmm. It's the box.
The box. So
it's the bird box. Yep. But this time it didn't work and the bird died. Was dead probably when I nudged it into the box.
Probably still dead.
Yeah, so I dumped it in the bushes.
It's pretty traumatic.
So that's the end.
Not the first bird to lose its life against that window.
No. So anyway, that's my story.
It's a tough way to start the day.
And well, it wasn't how I started the day.
How big was the bird?
I mean, it's just normal bird size. I mean, normal size of my hand, size? Maybe?
Like an eagle.
It was like a hand-sized eagle.
All right, listen, we gotta watch this.
Fine.
I'm too high to keep babbling. Get ready for some 70s action. The year Jamie Moline was born.
Now, please enjoy listening to us watch Jaws. Spoilers ahead. The movie opens and we see teenagers drinking and partying on a beach.
Damn, kids making out. They gotta die.
I mean, yeah.
It's not
every horror movie
camp,
has taught us that.
Shark. Dude's just killing it on the guitar.
Is he?
I don't know.
He thinks he is.
I don't know. Maybe he is.
You know what? Maybe he is.
All right. You're gonna try and get some pussy in the water.
In the water?
I think so. Look at this beach,
sand?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Then one of the guys approaches a cute blonde girl. She runs away in a sexy come hither sort of way, and he chases her into the dunes and away from the party.
Why is she running?
That's what you do to entice a man. You just start running in a weird way.
Why is she just throwing?
Because that's it's sexy, sweetie. It's sexy to not
stop.
It seems
a little impractical, I'm going to just say.
A man likes it if you take your clothes off while you're running. If you're doing it stationary, it's not fun. It's not sexy. It's gross.
She was really running at top speed.
I know. I can't tell what time of night it's supposed to be because it's pretty light.
It looks like it's sort of dawn.
What's she holding on to? Damn, she's really deep in the water.
What? How do you know she's really deep in the water?
Because of how far the camera is down.
Oh. She's in the deep end.
The deep end of the ocean?
Somehow is she going to show her tits?
It doesn't make sense that she is above, her head is above water the whole time. The shark would just pull her down. Also, how is there no blood in the water?
Just watch the movie. I don't know. Fuck.
Next, we see the police chief of Amity Island, Chief Brody, played by Roy Schneider, in his home with his wife and children when he gets a call telling him that a young woman has gone missing and was last seen the night before.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about his annoying thing where he just had people talking just at the same time. Not like Altman, but like in an annoying way.
Because he's trying to be like realistic about
it. Naturalism,
but,
yeah.
But everybody's actually mic'd, so.
After receiving the call, Brody hops in his truck and drives out to the beach to investigate.
In the 70s, the police could just drive a fucking convertible pickup truck.
Convertible pickup truck?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it converts, but it doesn't have a top.
It's a Jeep.
There's no top on it.
Jeeps often don't have tops.
Oh.
Yes, sweetie.
It's top. Don't touch me.
You thought it was a convertible pickup truck.
That's what it looks like.
At the beach, the sheriff finds part of the body of the girl that had gone missing the night before, washed up in the dunes covered in crabs. Also, hilariously, if you're watching closely, you can see a crab drop from the sky onto the body in the shot.
That was fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm
saying? Pretty annoying. It's like, it's okay if you're making a movie to just have it be that...
That's some people
the actors
don't always
who
talk,
are,
yeah.
That the dialogue is heard and people just hear the story.
Altman did it where in a way that it was funny and interesting. There it goes again. Another interaction I couldn't hear. This time, let's put drums behind
it. There's also a way... Yeah, right. There's a way to mix the sound so that the dialogue you want to propel the story is still what is being heard. Look, it's another convertible pickup truck.
Man, the 70s were the best. There were no cell phones, no computers. People smoked, and it wasn't a problem. It wasn't dangerous.
Sure. None of their lives were affected by smoking.
Ugly dudes could be sexy. The cars were dope.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at that.
Look at that suit.
Suit? Come on. These dudes are killing it.
After finding the body, Chief Brody speaks to the medical inspector, determines that it was likely a shark attack, and decides that he needs to close the beaches. But when the mayor, in his fabulous anchor print suit, catches wind of this, he has the medical inspector retract his statement, saying that it was actually probably a boating accident, and insists to the chief that they have to keep the beaches open, because Amity is a beach town and swimming at the beach is their bread and butter.
It's just like COVID. It's like these politicians don't want to admit that there's a giant shark killing people and then more people needlessly die. It's a perfect metaphor.
Next, we see Chief Brody sitting on the crowded beach with his family, intently watching the water for any sign of a shark.
This feels like the least relaxing beach ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like super crowded. Everybody's like sitting on top of each other. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, the dog's gone.
Pippin?
Pippin! Pippin?
Pippin!
Pippin! What'd you name your dog? Pippin! Really? How do you say it again?
Pippin!
How do you say it, sweetie?
Pippin!
As the music swells, we see first a shot from the perspective of the shark as it swims up towards its victim.
Oh!
Then we see, as if from the beach, a large thing emerge from the water, taking a little boy on a floaty, followed by an eruption of blood as the boy flails and then is pulled underneath.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Damn. See, that was raw. He took the kid.
Yeah.
And they had the blood burst.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why it was crazy that that girl, when she got eaten... There was no blood in the water.
They were saving it.
Now we see people, including Chief Brody and the mayor, filing into a room for an emergency meeting about how to handle the shark problem.
Now we're going to get 20 people in a room, and they're all going to talk to each other at the same time.
And then you and me are going to talk over the 20 people talking in the movie. Just like the director would have wanted.
You're doing great. Keep talking, everyone. Just keep talking.
It is pretty stressful to listen to.
Yeah. What's up with the big shark killing children?
He's like, we'll get to that later. Are there any other questions first?
Why are people laughing? What the fuck is going on?
Amidst the cacophony that is 20 people talking over each other in this scene, we suddenly hear the sound of literal nails on a chalkboard.
Okay, who's going to emerge? Is it the salty sea captain?
Uh-huh.
And he was waiting till he was done drawing the shark.
I'll catch this bird for you. It ain't going to be easy.
Sir, it's a shark. It's not a bird.
I'm not going down the bottom chasing bluegills and tommy cats.
What?
This shark. Swallow you whole.
Oh my god.
Well, you gotta do it quick. I don't bring back the tourists. I'll put all your businesses on a paying basis.
I just wanna point out that, like, the many different ways that this is distressing to listen to, because one, it's all the people talking over each other. Two, I mean, nails on a chalkboard, and then
literally nails on a chalkboard,
and then three, he's eating food while talking, so you can't understand him.
And he's got
him.
The thickest, weirdest accent.
Like, it's so...
And this is all Spielberg's choices. Like, he's just like, one thing I want to do with this movie is just
I don't want anybody to be able to understand.
Like an assault on everybody's senses.
It really is.
$10,000 for me by myself. But I could get the head, tail, the whole damn thing.
Mm. Okay, can we do 5K huh. for just the tail?
Much. How much, yeah, how much for just the head?
Okay. This was like his moment to shine.
And who's that little dude with
him? Yeah, I don't know, who just follows him around.
With the dog.
And that weird orange hat.
After the meeting, a $3,000 bounty is put on the shark, prompting a slew of amateur shark hunters to try their hands at catching it.
All right, some assholes trying to catch it and get the dough.
I mean, I don't know. Does that make them assholes?
I think it does when they get eaten.
That makes them assholes?
Yeah, because they're amateurs.
Is he going to pull like the whole dock out? Yep. Shit. It's pretty funny that the shark is like, it has the roast, but it's like, I'm going to go back for this guy.
He's wearing the dock like a hat.
Oh, is that what it is? I assumed he was pulling the dock.
I guess he's pulling the dock.
The men barely get away from the shark, but the following morning, there are hordes of more amateur shark hunters heading out to try their luck. And it is while this is going on that we meet oceanographer Matt Hooper, played by Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, here he is.
Hello. Hello, back.
Hello.
Hooper goes to examine the first victim's body and determines definitively that she was killed by a shark. Meanwhile, back at the beach, one of the amateur shark hunters has caught a large tiger shark, which they display proudly as if it is the shark.
And let me guess, Richard Dreyfuss is going to be like, that's not the shark.
Oh, yeah.
Hooper does tell Brody that it is unlikely the shark the local fisherman caught was the same one who killed the girl on the beach, based on the bite radius alone, and asks if he can perform an autopsy to see if there are human remains inside. Then they are approached by Miss Kintner, the mother of the boy who was killed at the beach, and she lambasts the sheriff for knowing there was a dangerous shark in the water and letting people swim anyway.
My boy is dead.
It's a tough day on the job, I guess.
Yeah.
Chief. She's wrong. Her boy's actually alive. I'm sorry. She does that almost every day to somebody. Another, you know, not traditionally handsome man.
I think Richard Dreyfuss is kind of attractive.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
He's got something
to him. He's got swagger.
After performing a late night drunken autopsy on the tiger shark, Hooper and Brody determine that it is not the shark they were looking for, and because the shark they're looking for feeds at night, they decide then and there to go look for it.
Oh, the 70s when you could just get hammered and go try to find a killer shark with your boys.
Yeah.
Nobody got in your way. Weren't living in a nanny state.
You know? Didn't have to wear a mask.
A ghost.
It's about 100 yards south, south, south.
Stupid.
Yeah, the old triple south.
They come upon an empty fisherman's boat.
Look, Morton, I'm gonna go down there and check their hull.
What? Go down there? How is it that he's the person who knows the most about this shark and he's just like, ah, nothing will happen if I jump in the water?
I don't know.
Sweetie, none of this makes any sense. This is crazy. He said the shark feeds at night. And he's just going to jump in the water at night?
I mean, you know, the shark can't be everywhere.
Yes, it can. It's a movie.
Well, in this movie, the shark is bound by the laws of physics.
Is it?
So far.
Despite everything, Hooper puts on a wetsuit and swims down to examine the ship underwater.
Looks like a shark hole.
Hmm. It's your classic shark hole.
Oh, a shark tooth, isn't it?
While he's down there, Hooper encounters the dead body of the fisherman.
That's so... Oh, God. Oh, boy. Oh, no, you dropped your tooth.
That was great. That was great.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that.
It scared me.
Where's all your smart, sassy talk now? Just over there screaming at the jump scares.
I've never seen it before.
The next day, Brody and Hooper try to convince the mayor to close the beaches based on the body and the giant shark tooth they found on their late night expedition, but to no avail.
I feel like they're wearing so much clothing for it being in the middle of the summer.
I actually feel like this dude's suit is incredible.
No, it is, but they're all wearing like suits and jackets and like...
But you know, his suit has jeans. Little anchors, little white anchors all over it.
I understand.
It's really good.
Yes, Jamie, I agree. But the point I was trying to make is that they're all overdressed.
They are. And yet,
because it's
snappily
it's probably,
dressed. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. How many fucking conversations can you squeeze into one stupid movie about a shark?
It's just so much.
It's getting worse and worse. He's doubling and tripling it.
Yeah.
The sound design is just infuriating.
No, it's terrible.
And it's a choice. That's the thing that kills me. It's an artistic choice.
No, it's really painful. You know that I have a hard time with lots of sound. You know that about me.
You have a hard time
I'm
with
very
lots of
sensitive
sound.
To sound.
So am I. You know that about me.
No, I don't. I know that about myself.
Well,
only.
I'm definitely that way as well. And this is killing me. Are you ready?
July 4th comes, and even though the beaches remain open and are packed, nobody seems to be going into the water. So the mayor decides to take matters into his own hands.
My God.
What?
He's personally walking around the beach in a suit telling people to go in the water? Incredible.
And bring all your children
just
in.
Just silently grab their hands and they'll know what to do. They'll all know. Just walk into the water.
They've
with
done
you.
This before. You've done this drill before 1,000 times.
That's crazy. I also don't believe
when
that.
When we walk into the ocean, we walk in as a family. You just
and they
silently
all look, like, so scared.
We'll silently walk you in to your death.
Okay, I don't believe that none of these people would have gone in the water, that they like all went out to the island and then it just took some old people getting in the water before and they were like, okay, that old family went in, so we can go in now too.
Even though everyone else has started swimming in the water, Chief Brody tells his son to stay out and to go to the pond instead.
I don't care if all these other people die. They're strangers. But you're my son. You're my ugly pig-faced son.
From across the beach, we see Chief Brody's wife mouth something to him.
The fuck was
that? I don't know.
Who opens their mouth that wide to whisper? Like she just filmed it like she was shouting.
Yeah, I have to say this movie is fairly bizarre. Like
it is.
The way that people they don't act like humans. Everybody's
Richard Dreyfuss is the best part of the movie.
I agree. It's very charming.
Kills it.
I mean, it looks great. The movie looks amazing. One thing about sharks though is they do tell you that you should swim in a group because a shark wouldn't want to approach a group of people swimming, but if it's, you know, a lone person, you're more of a target.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Amity.
I can see right up that dude's shorts. I think I just saw that dude's nuts. Yo, wait a second.
Are you going to go back?
I am, because that's okay. Crazy. I feel like they didn't realize that they just had a shot of a dude's nuts in this thing. Watch this. Ready?
Wait. You definitely can. That's incredible. You really saw a distinct line between.
I was just happened to be staring, and the nut was right in my eye.
That's that realness that he's going for, you know?
At this point, everyone is freaking out because a shark fin has been spotted in the water.
Who would just hold on to their child and
it's
scream?
It's so ridiculous.
This is a B movie.
It really is. It's really campy.
It's very campy.
Oh my God. And like, they're just like trampling people. That old man just got trampled in the water.
This looks like one of the least pleasurable ways to experience a beach.
Yeah, it's
so... Do beaches get this crowded?
Well, you know, this looks like Coney Island to me. There's no way that many people are swarming out to an island.
As it turns out, the shark fin that caused everyone to evacuate the water was just a kid wearing a shark fin hat. Classic. But then we see another shark fin.
There's a whole bunch of fables and lessons to take away from this movie.
Now what, another child prank shark?
This time, the shark is real, and we see it knock over a small rowboat next to Brody's son and kill the man inside.
Oh, first time we see the shark.
Oh! Leg.
After the latest shark attack, Brody finally convinces the mayor to close the beaches and hire the salty sea captain from before, Quint, to catch and kill the shark.
Why is he bloody?
No, you know.
He's just covered in blood, inexplicably, feeding them bathtub gin.
The next day, the three men prepare to leave together to catch the shark. Among other things, Hooper has brought along an anti-shark cage.
You go inside the cage. Cage goes in the water. You go in the water. Shark's in the water. Shark.
Incredible writing. So what you're telling me is a shower cage? Cage goes in the water. You shower in the water. The shark comes to the shower.
What am I talking? Where's the... Okay, back it up. Where's the shower? Where's the shark having a shower?
So there's a shark shower.
Is it a cage? A shark. Okay, who's in the water? You're in the water? Huh. So shark's not in the water. Shark is in the water.
Shark's in the water, you're in the water. On.
Shark's in the water, you're in the water. And you're in the cage?
It's just... Okay. It's very funny.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Dreyfus is like, you're a psycho. Yeah.
Dreyfus is so good.
Yeah.
And there's the stuff he knows. The zinc oxide that this takes is in a kiss.
He's like, okay, I need you to just be swearing and yelling in the background while the wife is talking to the husband.
Everyone's like, okay, get it out of your system, man. And just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's really annoying. Spielberg is like, yeah, just keep talking. Just yell some sailor stuff. I can't have any
Scooby-Doo was didn't work alone. Okay, a lot of rain up in the mountains tonight.
It's like there can't be a moment of silence in this movie. Always got to be someone talking over
Gonna gather up my hoop-de-doo and get a little scuba-dee down there at the Fisher Town.
As soon as the boat gets out to sea, the guys get to work chumming the water and dropping fishing lines.
It does seem when it comes time to catch the shark, he's got his head in the game.
And then finally the shark shows up and begins circling the boat.
Oh, there it is. There's the line.
Okay, I heard the joke the first time.
Yeah, he's like, did you hear what I said? It's kind of...
But, you know,
it's going to be a catchphrase.
But once again, I use that line in a rap song.
Oh, yeah? What's the... Is it Sea Legs?
It's in Down.
It's the same song.
Yeah.
So it's two movie references in that one song.
Yeah. You're going to need a bigger boat, boys. You're in trouble.
Do they say that part of the movie?
No.
Oh.
Say you're going to need a bigger boat.
No.
They just said.
Yeah, I heard. So. Didn't know if he said it a third time, maybe. Are you going to get a peanut butter and jelly thing?
That's crazy.
I'll just explain to the listeners at home that Trader Joe's makes some pretty fucked up good snacks, like stoner snacks every now and then. For instance, they once made this chocolate cheese that was actually really good. It was like cheddar cheese swirled with chocolate, and they stopped making it. But anyway, they made these fucking peanut butter and jelly things, and it's like, it looks like Dunkaroos, but instead of cream that you dip the cookies into, it's jelly, and there are these little wafer cookie things that are peanut butter wafers with peanut butter inside, and you dip them into jelly, and they're really fucking good. Can I have one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really quite good. I'm actually thinking I might need to load up on these at Trader Joe's before they discontinue them. Which I'm sure they will.
Really?
Yeah, they always do that shit.
Fuck.
They'll make like some weird cool snack and then they stop making it. Why do I feel like this? The captain's about to meet his untimely demise?
No, not yet.
While the shark is circling, Quint grabs a harpoon attached to a barrel filled with air and waits to get a clean shot so he can shoot it into the shark.
Maron, you got him.
And that's all. That's as easy as it was. The shark.
With a barrel. Is Richard Dreyfuss still alive?
Jack? Yeah, he is.
What's Richie Dreyfuss doing now?
I don't know, but apparently he's one of the biggest assholes on the planet. Mm. But I always wonder why he doesn't do movies. They're like, Steven, why are you doing this? Why do you always fuck up the dialogue? It's either you just fade it out in the middle of the dialogue.
Or someone's eating, or they're talking over each other, or you just can't understand them. Why even write lines at all? Chief.
Later that night, Quint and Hooper get drunk and bond while telling each other how they got each of the large physical scars on their bodies.
About that, I entered an arm wrestling contest in an Oki bar in San Francisco. You see this? I can't extend. You know why? Got to the semifinal, celebrating my third wife's demise.
Demise? For a sea captain, he doesn't have very many sea-related injuries. It's just like fighting in a bar in Boston. Yep.
I was at an old-timey jamboree. I was taking a violin solo.
Slowly, all of their limbs become intertwined as they show each other their scars until they're...
I got something here.
The shark pops up and starts singing along.
Dum, 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 dum. Starts doing the bass.
Yep.
The shark's like, enough with the noise.
Yeah. Oh. Shark is shooting at them right now. Oh.
While they're drunk and singing, the shark swims over and starts ramming the boat, causing leaks and a small fire. But, unperturbed, Quint calmly tells Brody to put out the fire, and he grabs a shotgun to start shooting at the shark, which we see because it has a barrel attached to it from before.
Yeah, just pulling out my shark pistol.
Just reminds me of when I was young, a young cop, a rookie cop, and I shot my first shark.
You see that thing just fall?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. That was really weird. It looked like a UFO.
Yeah, it did.
Those are UFOs.
I don't think they just captured UFOs.
I think they did. No. It's the same guy who did E.T. And Close Encounters. Maybe he was trying to tell us something.
Uh-huh.
It's a little boring.
This movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know.
This fucking thing has taken multiple bullets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of going by horror movie rules, which is like, you know, Michael Myers.
Which is like multiple barrels.
But, you know, Michael Myers gets shot a million times and somehow never dies.
Yeah, he's supernatural. But he starts off by being a dead boy in a lake.
No, that's Jason Voorhees. I'm talking about Michael Myers in Halloween. Michael Myers is just a murderous psychopath. This is the Michael Myers of the ocean. I'm going to draw him like one of my French girls.
After a lot of yelling, shooting three barrels into the shark, and breaking a bunch of shit in the boat, the men decide to go with Plan B.
Now it's time for the shower shark cage shower.
Shark cage shower?
Oh. You have to listen when I make a joke. Like
sorry, I'm spacing out. I'm so wrapped up in this slow...
so slow!
...process of catching a shark.
Oh my god. It's a roller coaster of emotions between them, though. They're like yelling and getting angry, and they're like, dang, dang. And then they're calm, and they're singing.
Dude changes outfits again.
Yeah, another outfit change.
After continuously failing to kill the shark, they move on to their next strategy, sending Hooper down in the shark cage with a giant needle thing to stab it with poison.
Oh, he's hoping to inject the shark in the mouth when the shark inevitably tries to eat him from the cage.
Yeah.
Shortly after being submerged, the shark approaches the cage, but then swims right by.
Oh, maybe he's gone. Maybe he won't come back.
Maybe that's the end of the movie.
I guess that's probably it. Well, we can probably pack it in, boys. Just take me out of the shower cage, and I'll just be on my way. Stick my hand out of the cage. Oh! Oh! Got him from behind. How did that happen?
He rammed it with his face.
Oh, and he can't, like, signal to come back up? Because he dropped his... Oh, he dropped his fucking needle. Damn, son.
They're just up there like, wonder how it's going.
They're like, I guess he's probably good down there, so... Let's sing another song. I feel like they should know to pull him up by now.
Hooper escapes from the damaged shark cage and hides on the ocean floor, while the shark manages to sort of half-jump on the boat, where it sits chomping its mouth as the boat starts sinking.
Watch this. Yeah.
It just humps the boat, huh?
Good luck, watch.
This is no bueno for... The boys are in trouble. I'll say it. It's not looking good for them. Oh, boy. Does he slide into the mouth? Oh, shit.
Unfortunately, Quint slides right into the shark's open, chomping mouth and is killed. Gruesomely.
Bummer, dude.
With Quint now dead and Hooper underwater, Brody climbs the mast of the sinking ship with a gun on his back and continues to fight the shark, who now has an air canister in its mouth.
Come on, he's kind of a badass.
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying he's not. I want to know what the shark's motivation is for, you know, being this way. What happened in the shark's past to make him how he is?
Well, that's sort of what Orca is like.
What if they blew up Jaws, but then, like, just one of the other sharks just came and killed him? Oh!
In the end, Brody manages to blow the shark up.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I want to go.
Yeah. You want me to put, like, a can in your mouth and then shoot at you?
Mm-hmm.
Smile, you son of a bitch! And then you just blow up?
Yep. After all that time, the old man got caught by the shark after all,
yeah.
Huh? In the worst possible way.
He wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Is this how I always knew I'd die?
I always knew I'd die by shark.
No.
You're just smiling? No.
No.
The final shot is of Brody and Hooper, floating on the wreckage of the boat, buoyed by two floating barrels, swimming back to shore and jokingly hoping that the tide is with them.
That's it?
That's it until Jaws 2, Jaws 3D, Jaws 4.
Is it the 4. Same shark?
Nah. I don't think so.
Sound John R. Carter? Oh, not Carpenter, never mind.
Yeah, who's the sound? Who did the sound of this? Robert Hoyt, if I ever fucking find you? I swear to God,
not,
you too, Jim Fargo.
It's not
You're fucking with the wrong dude.
I mean, it's partially like the mix and sound design, but it's also the writing and directing that's just like, everybody talk now and make sure there's a band
Ron
in the
and
background.
Valerie Taylor.
In the background. I guess it just Jaws to show you.
I forgot how long this movie, like how much of it is just them chasing the fish in the water.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was terrifying.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there were fucking UFOs in this shit. He showed two of them.
I think they were shooting stars, Jay.
It wasn't nighttime.
You can say shooting stars when it's not nighttime.
But they were slow, big, flaming fucking things that darted behind
clouds. So you think
that
he was intentionally putting UFOs in the picture?
I think that he caught two UFOs on this footage and he just let it rock. He just put it in. He noticed it later and he was like, fuck that, I'm going to put this in there. Mm-hmm. And then say anything about it.
Okay, I think it's special effects that they put in.
Well, why don't we find out?
I'm going to text Steven, see what he says.
Someone's got to know. Do you think that maybe if I Googled UFOs in Jaws movie?
Yeah, go for it.
I bet you something pops up. Oh, this is interesting. Jaws mystery. Did long unknown Lady of the Dunes, so a woman murdered in a Long Island unsolved Cape Cod case may have appeared briefly in a Jaws scene.
Oh.
Interesting.
Just
Incredible
as an extra?
Coincidence. A real shooting star was caught on film. Okay, so we were both wrong. After the main characters, Chief Brody, Roy Scheider, Matt Hooper, and the wild-eyed fisherman Quint, Robert Shaw, get drunk, compare maritime injuries, and sing Show Me the Way to Go Home, They get rudely interrupted by an attack from the giant predator.
It was rude.
I thought so. Scramble out on deck. They struggle to get their act together in the dim light. Brody readies his gun, then all goes quiet. That's when a shooting star comes streaking across the sky in the background. This is followed by another star in the frame of a solitary shot of Quint's vessel, the Orca. Like many who watched the movie, I believe they had added these for dramatic effect in post-production. This wasn't the case, as the 1995 documentary The Making of Steven Spielberg's Jaws uncovered. Unbelievably, a real shooting star had raced across the sky at that exact moment. The sky had filled with light for what appeared to be purely magical reasons.
Yeah, so that movie, it's super campy. Definitely feels like a B movie. Feels very surreal, just the way that people act in the movie. But it's fun, and Richard Dreyfuss is great. He's the best part.
Yes.
And the sea captain's pretty fun, too.
Roy Scheider's definitely the least fun.
He's the least fun.
Roy Scheider is kind of an awkward actor. He's always been that way. He just sort of had like that like late 60s sort of dude with a fucking turtleneck reading poetry, like, you know, just and leathery skin.
He definitely is leathery.
Oh, I'm glad you saw that. I guess it wasn't my choice, it was yours. But the next time, ooh, boy. Oh.
It's the sound you make when you know that you're going to show me a movie next.
When I know that I'm going to show you a movie. Yeah, but I got to just say to Steven Spielberg, because you're probably listening.
Yeah. Steven, if you're listening.
Steven.
Fucking just one at a time.
Tone it down, man. Yeah, look. You know, now everyone doesn't have to be shouting. They don't have to interrupt each other.
There doesn't have to be a full orchestra just like randomly in the background.
Yeah, like some sad, weird circus orchestra that's nowhere. Like you didn't even have one shot of it. You know why?
Right.
Because you added it in afterwards.
Just, he's like, you know what? There's not enough overlapping sound here. Bum, bum, let's just bum, put...
Bum. Put the sound of a parade
at
the beach. Like, if I was at a fucking beach and there was a parade band.
Like, I'm not going to go to this beach anymore.
You got to think, though, those kids, they really made, like, a hyper-realistic shark's fin suit.
They really did. They went to great lengths. Because if that sounds like the kind of idea that some kids might have, but then would abandon when they're actually...
When they're like, wait a second, how do we make a shark's fin that's realistic? That doesn't make sense. We need some sort of... material that we don't really have access to.
Mm-hmm. Tools to cut it into the right shape. And
then get to form it into a suit.
Yeah, that you can hold from underneath. I mean, it's a fairly...
It's like a summer-long project.
Complicated contraption that they came up with. Plus, they have to stay underwater for an extended period of time.
Long time.
And you would think that, you know, one of the people that was in their wake would see, like, oh, there's actually little kids' feet behind this shark fin, so it's probably not a shark. There's no body attached to this shark's fin, so...
You know.
Steven, if you're still listening, what the fuck was that, dude? Okay, well, let's end this podcast. Do you have any final thoughts?
Here it is. Final thoughts.
We're going to swim right away from this.
We're going to swim away from this movie, and there's going to be a yellow barrel floating after us.
It's interesting that he didn't... The first kill, there wasn't a bunch of blood.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
The second kill, it was just like a volcano of blood.
It didn't make any sense, because also, the first kill, the woman's in the water, and you see her face, and she's like, what? And like, what does that mean? Like, you can see her reacting, but not like she's being bitten. So is the shark just like tickling her feet at first? And then you can see her being dragged with her head still above water, which means the shark is just pulling her still close to the water instead of pulling her down, which is what a shark would do. It just doesn't make any sense. And then there's zero blood.
Yeah.
And then the little boy gets eaten. It's literally bubbling up a volcano of blood.
Yeah. I mean, but pretty gory for a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah, for like a big budget, probably summer movie.
It was the...
Yeah, for the movie of the summer.
It changed movies. It completely was the first like gigantic mega blockbuster.
Yeah, and for that to be something that's like very scary and gory.
And noisy.
I'm going to need a salty sea captain with the most I cannot pin down that accent. It's
neither
not
could
a
the
new
subtitles at a certain point. They just said unintelligible.
It's really?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
No, it's just not a New England accent or whatever. It's like partially British, maybe.
No one really knows. And it's just so fucked up that that's how he died. All right. Jaws, peace, phone call.
Okay. It is fucked up. That's how he died. So...
The Panducto Corncast is created by Jamie Moline and me, Emily Panic. The theme music is by Jamie, and editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and spread the good word. Thanks for listening. See you next time.